Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me. To my immediate right is Mr. Rob Center, our fabulous producer. He's on the other side of the glass, but he's still to my right. As our show progresses, we'll hear from an individual.
Almost everybody's to your right.
That's
politically,
cute.
If not geographically.
That's a good one. All right. Well, one of those many individuals who's on my right will be Mr. David Rowe. He is now the state representative elect in the 85th district. So we'll get a chance to talk to him as our show progresses this morning. He's going to call us shortly. It is Wednesday, day after the special election in the 85th district. David Rowe won by a little bit less than a 2-1 margin. And the write-in campaign of Claire Moyer, Lawrence's worthless view is that it wasn't successful, 183 votes, not really a significant inroad, less than 1%, according to my bad calculations. So, I would say he certainly had hoped for a bigger turnout there. But it is the 21st day of August, 2019, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out anytime you wish at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We would very much love to hear from you. And what else? That's it, right?
We're hearing from David.
Then we're good to go. All right, David, thank you so much for calling
in.
Sorry,
not David now. Representative Rowe.
Representative-elect.
Right.
David
Rowe.
You
guys can still call me David. That's fine.
All right, well, we'll do. David, first of all, congratulations on the election win. This was what you had hoped for. So I guess reaction to getting the most votes yesterday.
Well, I'm just very grateful that the people of the 85th District saw fit to select me for this job. I have to express a lot of thanks to my friends and my family, especially my parents, who have put so much effort into me over the years. I have to thank my volunteer base. That was just amazing yesterday. The ground game that we had going was fantastic. So it was definitely a team effort, and I'm very grateful for it.
You live in a Republican-dominated district, so that certainly helped you. What else would you say was pivotal when it came to selection time in the ballot booth? Voters did have an option with the write-in candidate, but still you by and far got the most votes.
I think the fact that I spent probably every day for the past several months, except Sundays, out on the pounded pavement, going door to door, talking to the voters at their houses, hearing what concerns they shared, hearing directly from them the issues that they were facing. I think that means a lot to people when a candidate is willing to take the time to do that. And knocking on several thousand doors over the course of this campaign, I think, certainly had an impact. I think you also made a good point in that it is a Republican-dominated district. And the message of limited government, lower taxes, those are policies that I think benefit all Pennsylvanians and really resonate with voters in the 85th.
Well, I will say that your strategy of not attending the League of Women Voters debate and out knocking on doors obviously paid off for you in making that. And ironically, last night I was at a meeting, and we were talking about the election and whether or not a friend of mine had voted, and he said, oh, yes, and that nice young man came to my door and talked to me about the issues.
So I think it's so important to hear directly from the constituents, so it matters to them.
Well, what do you think now that you're headed to Harrisburg? You don't know yet when you're going to be sworn in, right? I guess it'll be sometime in September when they go back in session.
But, yeah, talked to the Speaker of the House, and he said it was tentatively set for September 17th, but that was definitely not locked in. That was definitely not set in stone.
What committees are you hoping to get on, Dave?
That, I mean, I think I'm going to be more or less filling in where Fred Keller left off, I think, given that it's a special election. But that could be, again, there's going to be a lot of things that I'm not sure how it's going to roll, given that it is a special election. The timing of things are going to be a little different. The, you know, the date of the swearing in, the committee appointment. So I mean, we'll see what's available in this off cycle.
When folks say I'm going to hit the ground running, it often means something different. Including in your case, it may mean trying to fill in some of the vacant spots that were left by Fred Keller. What does it mean to you? I'm going to Harrisburg and hit the ground running, and I'm going to ... Sort of, what's your first priority?
Well, I think it's important to realize that hitting the ground running doesn't just mean in Harrisburg. I mean, I will certainly be spending time in Harrisburg, but I think hitting the ground running means doing more of what I've been doing already, and that's getting out into the communities and hearing from people all across the 85th District. So at least on the local level, I'll be heading out here in just about half an hour or so, heading up to the ribbon cutting for the Luzerne County Community College. I will be heading out to Mifflinburg then to meet with the office staff of Fred Keller's old office in Mifflinburg to have a meeting with them, talk about operations going forward. So I'm definitely, as you said, hitting the ground running to get to meet people and find out what's important in the district. When it comes to Harrisburg, I've spent quite a bit of time getting to know my fellow representatives and senators that are surrounding this area, this district, and across the state, so that when I'm able to go to Harrisburg, I'll be able to jump in head first and really get something meaningful done, hopefully, with those people.
Well, legislatively, do you have a priority from what your conversations with people in the district have shown you?
Absolutely. The people of the district overwhelmingly are, I think, annoyed that the state government, lives a fiscal life that is something that the private citizen couldn't possibly do. You know, the unsustainable debt, the unsustainable spending increases are something that are going to make Pennsylvania an unlivable state in a few short years as the debt and the spending continues to climb in the billions of dollars year after year. So I'm looking forward to going down there, supporting a couple of very common sense spending control measures. Something known as the Taxpayer Protection Act is something that I've been very supportive of. It's a very common sense piece of legislation that would tie increases in spending to measurable markers like population growth, economic growth, so that the state government, the state budget, can grow in a controlled manner, in a sustainable manner, so that we don't have the massive spending increases that we've seen over the past couple of years that are going to make us insolvent in a very short while.
Well, when we had you on the program with your opponents, one of the topics we didn't get to was property tax reform. Do you see anything meaningful happening on that in the legislature now that you're going down?
Absolutely. Property tax absolutely needs to be reformed. There has to be some sort of aid there. What we need to make sure we do when we address that issue, however, is that we address it with some sort of meaningful and lasting solution. We were promised that the legalization of gambling, the casinos, that would be the property tax solution, and that solution never materialized. So if we are going to, if it's the pending Senate bill that would increase the income tax and the sales tax and eliminate the property tax, that's an option to be considered, but we have to consider the long-term ramifications of those changes and make sure that some sort of meaningful change is made. When we look at the things that are driving up costs for school districts, we look at unfunded mandates from the state government, we look at rising health care costs, we need to address those issues that are creating a financial hardship for the school districts so they aren't required to raise school taxes year after year. I have a number of school board directors who are personal friends and great supporters, and they've shared with me that these state mandates that keep coming down are the reason that school property taxes have to keep going up just to meet the legal obligations set by the state. The practice of unfunded mandates is unjust, unfair, and needs to be stopped.
You were asked this question 2 days ago, but it's taken on a different import now that you're the state representative-elect. How will you represent folks who don't agree with you, those individuals who may just be Democrats or maybe on a particular topic, a particular issue, may disagree with you? Describe you as a listener and a reactor to their views.
So as representative for the 85th District, it is my intention to be just that, to represent the people of all across the district. I think that there is definitely going to be a line where the policies that I am promoting, the policies that I'm supporting, are going to be beneficial to all Pennsylvanians. You know, lower taxes, limited government, a pro-business culture, these are things that I think everybody can get on board with, even though the other nuances, other issues might not be something that everybody can agree on. But I'm committed to hearing out all of the issues that are concerning the residents of the district, regardless of their political affiliation. I look forward to hearing from people specifically that I might disagree with, because I think it's important in this role to be able to at least hear perspectives from all sides. And I think every perspective has merit. And even if it might not be a perspective I agree with, I'm interested to learn as much about it as I can.
Well, one thing your predecessor was famous for was taking people on head on. He didn't equivocate. If you asked him, Fred, a question, you'd get an answer, even if he knew you didn't like the answer you were going to get. Is that going to be your role model?
Well, you can definitely have you can have communication without compromise, and that's what I'm going to adhere to. I'm more than willing to have any conversation with any person about any issue, but that does not mean that I'll be compromising on my beliefs or my convictions just because of it.
What did you learn from Claire Moyer listening to his ideas and observations and his goals?
I just have to thank Claire for running, for wanting to be involved in the democratic process. I think it was great that he threw his hat into the ring and that he worked so hard to be a part of the electoral process. And I do have to say the same thing about Jen. You know, just because the people of the 85th district don't agree with her politically doesn't mean that we shouldn't respect her for her willingness to serve, for standing up to be a part of the democratic process. It's not an easy thing to do. So I have to commend Jen for her willingness to stand up and be counted. I have to commend, pass that same commendation along to Claire.
Did they both extend their congratulations to you?
I have not heard from either of them.
Well, they will. I'm sure about that. What about topics that you have to bone up on? I don't know what your vast knowledge does entail, so I couldn't rule out anything that you don't know. But where do you say that I'm going to have to learn more about X topic?
I think that's definitely going to be something I'm going to have to learn as I go. I know that as this journey progresses, there are going to be people that come to me with issues that I won't know yet. I'm going to make it a point to find out who I need to talk to learn the solution to those problems, or at least where to learn more about it. I don't know if I could specifically point to one thing or another, but I do know that there will be a learning curve, and I'm excited to learn as much as I can from the people of the district, from the specialists in those arenas, and to represent the people well going forward.
Well, one of the things you'll be facing in this current term when you go back will be the issue of radar for municipal police. I'd be happy to provide any information you may need, David.
Absolutely. And Joe, I know we discussed that previously, and I would love to sit down and hear your thoughts on it. I've actually, after our conversation in studio the other day talking about that, I made it a point to reach out to a couple of people involved with that. Heard some very interesting perspectives and some very strong opinions on both sides of the argument, so I'm definitely going to have to do a little more research.
All right, and so that's Joe's pet project. I'll just take recreational marijuana under my wing as a good pet project.
Well, that'll be the last time we'll probably hear from Dave on the show.
you did talk about recreational marijuana the other day on the show, so we do appreciate that, and we're far from being close to that. I think the radar bill probably is imminent. I'm not sure that any of the marijuana bills have any life. Okay. Well, we'll give you an open mic. Is there anything you would like to say to the broad audience? Please go right ahead, David.
Thank you, Mark. I just want to thank again the residents across the 85th District for putting their faith and trust in me. As I stated previously, it is my intention to try and represent well the people across the 85th District, regardless of their political or ideological affiliation. I look forward to hearing more from the people across the district. I've heard a lot about the issues that they are facing, their concerns, their struggles. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. I will hopefully have the office in Mifflinburg will be set up soon. Hopefully, it is my intention to keep as much of what Fred Keller had going the same as possible. That includes as much of the staff the same, as keeping the office the same, and so trying to keep a good thing that Fred had going. Again, I do just want to pay Jen her due respects and thank her for running a good campaign, for being willing to serve and step up. As I said, it's not easy, so I commend her for stepping up, for running in this race, for being part of the democratic process. I want to thank everybody who went out to vote. I know that middle of summer, people were texting me, telling me they were coming back from vacation early just to make sure they could vote, or they were delaying a trip. And I think it's so important that we had such great turnout for an off-year special election And I think it speaks volumes to the commitment of the people who live in the 85th. And I just want to thank them for the honor of choosing me for this seat.
Well, we've always told our state representatives and Fred Keller and Linda Culver and our senators, and we'll say it to you. You always have an open mic here. If you have some need to communicate with the public, we're always here.
Hey, thank you very much. And I've enjoyed being on your show many times, and I'm looking forward to being on it again.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
David Rowe, state representative-elect. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye.
You too. Appreciate that. David Rowe elected yesterday, and the numbers, I have Joe loves numbers for some reason.
I do love
He's
numbers.
Obsessed with numbers.
Not percentages, but numbers.
David Rowe had 6,489 votes in Snyder and Union County. Jennifer Rager Kay had 3,874 votes. Claire Moyer had 183 write-in votes. And those are all unofficial, so we have to wait till all of this is verified. Certainly would expect, as is sometimes the case, these numbers change slightly. There were not enough write-in votes for Claire Moyer in any name or any variation of his name to make a difference in the overall outcome. But that number could change slightly as they scrutinize all of the write-in votes. But they did keep a casual eye on the write-in votes as they came in because the number was smaller. They could do that. And I believe we had 30 write-in votes for him in Snyder County and 114, I think, comes to mind. Something in that range in Union County.
Well, we talked before about whether or not the Republican Party was split. You know, there was the controversy over the way the process was set up.
The conferee process.
The conferee process. But I would say the party definitely was united yesterday.
Well, yes, it was clear at that point. Well, and I think the other aspect was maybe you didn't think David Rowe was the ideal candidate, but sometimes you don't think, well, Claire Moyer is the answer to that. You know, maybe sort of the less of the evils kind of thing for some folks anyway, might have been David Rowe. So, but we certainly hope folks nominated or elected him because they felt he was the best individual to send to Harrisburg. All right, we'll take comers on this topic. We have open phones right now, 1-800-795-9565. We have one email pending. The subject is minimum wage, if I'm detecting that correctly. And we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. We're enjoying open phones as we do the special election post-mortem. Your reaction to the win or the numbers or some of the remarks of David Rowe. We'll take more endorsements, maybe have observations. Maybe you could suggest one of the growth areas that I asked about. And we'd love to hear
endorsements.
Well, why not? You can endorse your congressman or representative, even though he or she may not be running at the moment. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Al, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in. Go right ahead.
You're welcome. Hey, on his last comments and stuff that you were talking about, the school tax, real estate school tax.
Right.
I think if you've been in a property so long, if you take it step by step, if you've been in a property so long and you paid taxes on that property for 35 years and now you're ready to retire and you've been in the same school district, at some point you ought to be able to be paid in, grandfathered. You're done paying the school taxes. And because I see a lot of old people that, you know, get on a fixed income and then the tax really becomes a burden for them.
Define old.
And it's like a rent that never stops.
76.
What's old?
Oh, 72.
You're on my list, buddy.
So, all right. Well, that's an interesting idea. I don't think that's a terrible idea. You know, why should you have to keep on paying property taxes all the time? How about this? How about if you pay property taxes based on the, once you've paid off in property taxes, the value of the home when you bought it?
That would be perfect. You know, I mean, just some kind of limit.
But you're overlooking the fact that these taxes go to support ongoing institutions. Those institutions don't stop. Their need for funding doesn't stop.
Well, Joe, but you
but
live in a
town. New people come in, and my generation is done with the school. Now my grandkids are in school. Let my kids pay for it for a while, and then when their kids are in school, let them pay for it for a while.
Well, yeah,
but if we all pay, so many people lost properties in New York.
If we all pay, we all pay less. If fewer people pay, they pay more.
I'll let them suffer like the rest of us have had to.
Well, a lot of them don't pay any school taxes. Not like not the big amounts.
Who doesn't pay school taxes?
The problem is reapportionment, but reassessment. You know, the whole reassessment situation, the whole assessment situation is unfair. You and your neighbor could have identical homes sold at different times and have different taxes. You know, so if they leveled the playing field and made it fair, I think there'd be a lot less objection to property tax as a means of raising revenue for schools and
municipalities. But Al's point is that eventually you've paid the entire value of the home in just property taxes. Then and only then should you be considered as having contributed enough to the schools or the county or what it is, and then you can stop paying taxes. Because, like, okay, Joe, you live in a Taj Mahal, so your $300,000, that's going to take forever for you to pay off just in taxes, so you may pay forever. But like Al and I, we're working class dogs. We have $80,000 homes, so we could pay this off, and eventually when we retire on our modest retirement, not the gorgeous one that you have, we could then have, we could get a break.
I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
No, go ahead, Al.
I agree with him for once.
Thank you. Yeah, honestly, I think that's a fabulous idea.
And then I have two more things, and that's it.
Okay, go ahead.
I said about staying in the same home. And then on the wages, we've been stagnated kind of for the last 20 years. So I can see a raise in the minimum wage, but they're always talking about it's not instant. It's like by 2024, it will be all the way there. So it comes in implements. And at an accelerated rate, because you've been behind for 20 years, at an accelerated rate, that might bring it up and then just keep it up, and it won't be falling so far behind that when you do have to make a correction like this, it just looks like too much to handle. So you just do it a little bit at a time like they do with our taxes. They don't forget to hit us up a little bit more each year. So it's not as noticeable. And then the last and final one is I got a new, I'm all about pro-life. One out of seven new lives are aborted in the worldwide number now. It's one out of seven. And that's worse than any time ever in human history. China's a big contributor to that. And it's just a brutal act against God. That's all I have to say about that.
All right. Well, that's hard to come back from. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Al. Thanks for the call.
Yep. You're welcome.
I appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. Ultra speedy dialers at this point. I love his idea of allowing individuals to pay property tax up to and including the value of the home when you buy it. Now, this would not include the purchase price, because the purchase price could be up or down depending upon the market. Some people get their homes for a dollar if they're lucky, under circumstances from family or whatever. But when that's transferred to you, you have to start paying property taxes. The home still has a value, even though you only paid a dollar for it. So the home's value might be $80,000. And so you could say, okay, over the course of my time, of course, school taxes and county taxes are, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 bucks for most people around here annually. That all goes into this total that once you've paid off the total of the home's value, then you're done. Otherwise, no matter how old you get or how poor you get, you could lose your home at some point because you can't pay the taxes. That doesn't seem right. You know, somehow able to keep up with the upkeep of the home, or even to allow, you know, maybe something to deteriorate on the home. But then you still have to keep paying taxes, and you could lose your home if your income isn't sufficient. So Al had a marvelous idea. He and I don't always agree, but I think I agreed with all three of his comments today.
So you want people who are in the school system to pay for the school system.
Well, yeah, that, but to some extent. But like I said, your home might be worth more than mine, in which case you're still going to be paying, and you might as well say retired.
The only people who should pay any money toward fire protection are those whose homes have caught fire. You know, the fire company is on standby for all of us. And so we support it. We all support it a little bit so that no one has to bear the full brunt of the cost. Same thing is true with police.
Okay. You're going to have to loosen your headphones or something. They must be squeezing on
your
brain.
Well, you're not paying attention.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's what it is. Okay. I got you. All right. Joe's got cognitive impairment today. So, see, it's going. It's in the air. It's in the water. This is WDKOK Sunbury, back with Open Phones.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan, his honor in Shamokin Dam, but Pop at the dinner table. He's back with us, so we appreciate him coming in today as one more day of work till his retirement shortened weekend begins. So he can't wait for his retirement.
It's a retirement lengthened weekend, a retirement shortened work week.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so
now
much.
Now you're having cognitive issues.
All right. No, I am as sharp as ever, so. Working on a little bit less sleep. We stayed up late covering the elections. We had to stay up till 9:30 last night to call the election.
My heavens, you poor thing.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. That Text Connect system is set up for us to contact you via text message whenever there is breaking national news, local news, tornadic weather warnings of any kind, closed roads around here. That's the kind of thing that goes out via Text Connect, and you volunteer for it. You would just sign up at WKOK.com. Right up at the top of the homepage, it says Connect with Us. That's one of your options. And so we invite you to connect with us in that manner. The WKOK Text Connect system is also two-way communication. You can reply to in a text that you receive or start up a new message at 70236. And on our show, that gives folks an opportunity to send us messages. We do have some brief news headlines. With the start of the school year in the Shikellamy School District, September 3rd, school buses will be allowed over the Priestley Bridge from Northumberland to Sunbury. Currently, 147 is currently north only inbound into Northumberland, but Mayor Daniel Borard tells us that the beginning and the end of school days after September 3rd, buses will start on Priestley Avenue and wait, and after they do, a signal will be given to a work crew to stop northbound traffic into Northumberland on the Priestley Bridge and to allow southbound traffic to go through. That way they don't have to take that to do an unwanted visit to Shamokin Dam, nice as it may be to visit Shamokin Dam.
More than welcome to come through our borough.
Right, but nonetheless, they're going to try to avoid that if possible by allowing school buses. And yes, of course, I asked him, can I sneak in with the school buses? And he said no. PennDOT's Mindy Forsman says the department came up with that solution with district district officials and Northumberland officials. About 13 buses in the morning and in the afternoon will be crossing southbound into, initially Island Park and then to Sunbury into the Shikellamy School District. Can you imagine if you're in Northumberland and you get picked up, let's say near King and French Street, and you're going to the Beck's Chief Shikellamy Elementary School, which you can see from your home, you have to go to Shamokin Dam to get to it. But this will stop that. So that's going to be starting September 3rd. Big announcement from the mayor, so we appreciate
it. Seems like it's going to be a little difficult. What if a car is ahead of the bus? You know, the bus has to stop somewhere to wait to be signaled through. Where are they stacking the buses?
They'll figure it out. I don't understand what you're asking. But in any event,
am I speaking the same language you are today?
Is stuck in front of the bus.
Yeah, in other words, there's traffic going on. You said the buses have to wait for a signal so they could stop traffic and let the buses through. But what if there happens to be a car in front of the bus? Do they move it out of the way?
Yes.
And then how many buses will stack in a row before they start blocking up traffic behind them?
6.
Thank you.
Okay.
You don't know that for sure. You're making that up.
That's how many buses can fit on one block of Priestley Avenue.
Okay, well, if you say so.
All right.
You're the pine nodder.
Right.
The knot head, as it is.
The 2019 Northumberland County Fair starts this evening and continues through Saturday. Fairgrounds are located off the Tall Cedars Grove, just off Seven Points Road, just off Route 890, just outside of Sunbury. Joe Bartello is a county fair board member and says some favorites are coming back this year.
The pedal tractor pulls for the little kids, the garden tractor pulls for the bigger kids on Wednesday night, and we also have the what we call the farmer's triathlon, which is the bale throwing, bale stacking, and the pedal tractor pull.
New this year will be the 4-H Animal Science Quiz Bowl, which is a Jeopardy-based contest testing Valley young people's agriculture knowledge. Fairs open today and tomorrow from 3 to 9 p.m. Friday 3 to 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday. A committee of the State Game Commission staff has recommended a statewide ban on feeding white-tailed deer. The agency biologist says banning artificial feeding stations would help slow the spread of wildlife diseases. They're asking residents to voluntarily stop feeding deer now. The commission often addresses wildlife outbreaks of insect-borne infections like West Nile virus and other flare-ups, but its scientists are most concerned about chronic wasting disease in deer. The neurological disorder is fatal, and exposure cannot be detected until shortly before the deer's death. The disease has spread to herds in 23 states, including Pennsylvania. The municipalities, which have proposed feeding bans in the past, have faced opposition and eventually abandoned the idea amidst backlash from people who enjoy the pastime of feeding deer. And a newly elected St. Louis County Councilwoman in Missouri has been sworn into office using a Dr. Seuss book. The council in Clayton, Missouri, doesn't require members to be sworn in on a Bible, and newly elected 2nd District Member Kelly Dunaway chose "Oh, the places you'll go!" exclamation point. Her 5-year-old son and 7-year-old daughter held it for her during last week's ceremony. The graduation gift classic, which was first published in 1990, is about the journey of life. In it, the narrator tells readers, "Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsie as you." Other elected leaders also have chosen books besides the Bible for their swearing-in ceremonies, among them President John Quincy Adams, who was sworn in on a...
Quran?
No, a Quran?
No.
A law book.
Law book, yes.
You knew that?
Or no, I didn't know.
Okay, that's good trivia.
That is good trivia.
A Dr. Seuss book. That's interesting.
That could be an Alexa question of the day.
I think swearing in should be held on a religious book.
Well, why call it swearing in? What would you swear to in a Dr. Seuss book?
Just nowadays in court, you don't swear on a Bible. You just swear. You just swear, you know, you just do a public oath. And, of course, that, you know, solidifies what you're supposed to tell the court as being true. But you don't swear on a Bible anymore in court, so.
Next, somebody will be swearing in on a copy of Mad Magazine.
Well, why not? You better get it while you can. They're stopped publishing shortly.
Yeah, I understand.
All right, we have open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Call the talk show, and oh, the places you'll go. You'll go on the radio if you'd like to converse with us. We have three emails pending.
Yes, we do.
Thoughtful emails from individuals. Joe, you're the best reader in the room.
And this one came from someone who makes an excellent and valid point. Thomas Jefferson said the Republic can only survive with an informed and enlightened society. Public education funding is a shared lifetime responsibility necessary for the continuation of the Republic. How that shared responsibility is levied is worthy of debate, but we all need to be in this together. And that was my point.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's in response to Al's excellent idea that after you've paid off the entire value
right,
of your home in taxes, you can stop. Well, which is a wonderful idea, and Thomas Jefferson said you should, in fact, do just the opposite. Keep paying and paying and paying until
well,
you
no,
die.
Well, no, Thomas Jefferson pointed out that it was necessary to have good public education and an informed electorate for the benefit of the Republic. Our writer said that we all need to be in this together to make sure that happens, and he's right.
Well, I think there's a reason Thomas Jefferson is dead. It's because you taxed him to death.
He's awfully, right? He'd be awfully old if he were alive.
He never could have ever imagined what school districts would do to senior citizen property owners in a school district. And I know just enough about Thomas Jefferson to know that he would have called that blatantly and obviously unfair and wrong.
Well, this is the time of year when the big tax bill comes out, the one that funds the school districts.
Right.
I don't relish paying mine. I agree. I mean, it's would I rather do something else with those thousands of dollars? Yes, I would. But I have a grandson in public schools in Sealands Grove and another one who will be headed that way. So I feel I have a responsibility to pay for it. My son got his education in Sealands Grove. He got a good one. You know, he's a responsible, mature adult. So I think the school system prepared him well for life, and it deserves that to be in place for others to have the same thing happen to them. You start cutting down the number of people who fund something, and you start cutting down the amount of available funds to keep
Joe,
it going.
Joe, this is further proof in many
you
cases.
You sound like Dale now. Joe,
you just don't get it, okay? Here's the rub. You can easily afford your taxes. We're talking about individuals for whom taxes are such a burden that they have to sell the property just to pay the taxes. Now, you think that's fair, right, just, and the senior citizens, for example, or people on a families on the margin or low income, you think it's right, just, and Thomas Jefferson would endorse the fact that taxes have gone so high and keep going up. And keep going up every year. That they get kicked out of their home, they can't stay there, they have to move out and have to sell it because taxes have gone so high and they can't afford it.
You're missing my original point, which is that the value of homes and the way they are taxed is inherently unfair because one county could have reassessed its property 5 years ago, another one 25 years
right,
ago.
Right, I get that. That's obvious. Right, anybody could stipulate
it's
that.
It's not fair. If we make the taxation fair, I submit to you that those senior citizens wouldn't be paying the same amount of money they're paying now. And they would have a better chance of keeping their property and still at the same time providing some measure of funding for the school district. But we have this terribly inequitable situation where the amount of money that your house and my house are appraised at could be wildly different, even though they're of roughly the same value if they were sold. That's what's wrong with the system.
I got what you're saying. I invite people to call
Finally
in.
Comes the dawn.
Joe, you're making two points. One, that our system is unfair, and that's obviously true. There's no argument there. But the fact is, one easy solution would be to give individuals on a fixed income, retirees, after they've paid off the value of their home, maybe say, let's say 20 times over, you've paid so many taxes, you could have bought the home 20 times more. We'll say after you've paid it off 20 times, then
you can
stop
paying
taxes.
What if they took out a reverse mortgage? What if they haven't paid off their home?
You can stick on all kinds of what ifs if you want. If they haven't paid off their home, that's their business. Maybe if their taxes weren't so oppressive,
it's okay for them to be not be able to afford their taxes if they haven't paid off their house. But if they paid off their house, they shouldn't have to pay their taxes. What sense does that make?
All right, Joe.
You're
connecting unconnected puzzle pieces here. All right, 1-800-795-9565 if you'd like to join Cindy on the mark. Go right ahead, Cindy. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. First, I want to say congratulations to the gentleman that got Mr. Rowe.
Yep.
Did I say his name correctly?
Yep.
Oh, good. Mr. Rowe for his election. I think it bodes well for the General Assembly because the one demographic that is poorly represented there are young people. Most of the people down there are old and older. And I think it's great that there's some new perspective, a younger perspective, a different set of experiences going down there to the General Assembly. So good for him. Congratulations. Now, with regards to the property tax issue, first of all, let me ask you this. The former president of Penn State retired with a fixed income of a pension of over $800,000 a year. Do you think that he should be exempted from paying his property taxes?
Under Mark's plan, you would, if he had paid for his house
20 times over.
Why shouldn't he pay property taxes? And let me remind you that everyone who lives off of fixed income pays no income tax to the state or to the school district. They're exempted from that. So they've already gotten this huge exemption on taxes. It is, you know, for me, I appreciate the problem, and I would direct it in a different way. If I had to address this problem, it wouldn't be blanket exemptions for everyone 65 or older. I'm 64, ladies and gentlemen. I would not do that. Nor would I define it as fixed income, because that's a trick. Because in Pennsylvania, there are thousands, probably tens of thousands of people who are retired on incomes of over $100,000 a year. Many of them state pensions, federal pensions. Why on earth can't those people pay their taxes? I think that's silly. So I would be willing to, and let me remind you all that under Governor Rendell, two tax breaks on property taxes went out to folks. Number one, the annual property tax break from gambling. Now, of course, some people were big winners, like Chester School District gets $600 a year, and here we get roughly $100. There are places that only get $19, if that makes you feel any better. But on the other hand, they have, for low-income, let me repeat, low-income seniors, they have a property tax relief program, and you just have to sign up for it every year. So you take personal responsibility to send that form in, and you get money back. You get a break, a substantial break, I might add. And it is predicated not just on your age, but you only count half your Social Security income in it, which makes you poorer than you actually are, appear to be poorer than you actually are. Mm-hmm. So it extends it, therefore, far up the chain of retirees. But if there's really a window of people that are destitute and in trouble, I would be open to making an attachment rather than giving them a tax break, that their property would still be taxed. However, rather than them have to paying it after the age of 70, and only if you are low income, then it would be attached to your property. And on your death or its transference, that would have to be paid first to the school district.
Good point.
Excellent. I like the
now
way you think.
Now, you're still paying it. It's just you don't have to come up with it. You can survive. You won't have to pay that bill but when you die, like if, let's say you want to leave that property to your children, the first thing that has to happen is that out of your estate, you have to pay all the back property taxes on that property. And only for one property, you know, just like the property tax break for gambling is only on your primary residence. So if you own a hunting cabin, a second house, you know, whatever, you still have to pay the full taxes on that. I personally think if you can afford to have more than one property, you should be paying property taxes on both of them, you know, because your answer is to sell one of them and now you can pay the taxes on the other one. But, you know, that's not how they saw it. But you get property tax relief on one property here in Pennsylvania, your primary residence. It's only for homeowners. It's not for businesses.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Fair enough. Good idea, Cindy. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Al, you are welcome to enjoy your 1 minute right now, and then we'll take a break.
Okay. Thanks again. And to Joe, I've got a question. Do people that don't own properties pay that big tax at the end of the year?
They pay it because if they're renting, their landlord is going to pass that on to them. I don't know
that's
any landlord
not,
who just assumes the cost.
It.
Well, that is paying it. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter whether it's paid directly or indirectly. It's still paid. You don't think a landlord doesn't take into consideration the tax bill and setting the rent rate?
Oh, he takes that out of
his
own pocket.
That's another thing that went behind, too, because when I started in that business, it was like $179 a month per unit goes out in all your expenses. Now it's like 340.
Jeez.
Well, if you find a landlord...
People don't own a home aren't liable to pay that big tax. And if, you know, you'd lose your rental business if you tried to retrieve every penny because things aren't keeping up and people don't have the money.
Well, you find me some landlord who will tell you that he doesn't take into consideration his tax bill in setting the rent.
We take it into consideration, but you taking in the money is a different thing than taking into consideration.
Well, then you sell your property because you're losing money. Why would you stay in an investment where you're losing money?
Because it's your retirement.
Well, it's your retirement. If it doesn't produce any money and you're losing money, I'd say you're...
When you get to a certain point, you start selling them, Joe.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Hey, Al. Can you tell Joe's a billionaire who loves government?
Yeah, he wants...
He can tell.
And then Cindy's idea is all right, but, you know, you are paying... Your taxes like paying rent on the property forever.
Right. That wouldn't eliminate it. I like your idea best.
That you bought. The property that you bought, you're paying rent on forever.
You're a fickle.
I mean,
you
once
agree
you buy a property, you bought a property. Why should you have to pay rent on it forever?
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Al.
Yes.
Thanks for calling in.
Because government is ongoing, and the need to fund government is ongoing. And, you know, if you don't want police protection, you don't want fire protection, you don't want public schools, fine, let's cut out all taxes.
Joe is expanding his repertoire
and when the
being
and when,
a shill just for PennDOT
and
to a shill
invaded,
for all government.
Throw rocks at the invaders.
We'll take a quick break. We have one line occupado, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Al's idea is that after you've paid off the value of your home just in taxes. So if your home's worth $80,000, you've paid $80,000 in taxes over the years. You don't have to pay any more property taxes. It's a wonderful idea. Joe hates it because he says the goal is that everybody in society pays equally throughout their life, that they should continue to fund all the good things in society. It kind of agrees with Thomas Jefferson. So Joe says you should be tortured until you're dead.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
One of our listeners says, good morning. I think everybody should pay the same property taxes. The schools could count the number of houses in their district and charge them all the same. Problem solved. So like a per capita, like Joe would get a bill for $20. I'd get a bill for $20 if we were in the same school district.
Oh, yeah, that would probably work out well for all of us who live in mansions, as you point out.
Well, it would work out great for you, but bad for me. Us working class dogs would be penalized. So
I might be able to put in another marble bathroom. Who knows?
Well,
now, Joe, you know I'm going to hit you with this.
Well, go ahead, Dale, hit me.
Well, I'm just going to say is, you know, what I appreciate with Cindy, how deep research you all do, but 50 years ago, we used to call this pre-tax.
Dale, you're stepping away from Dale.
Tell you about
hello, Dale.
Dale, your phone's breaking up. You need to start over again and stay close to the phone.
I said I appreciate all the research Cindy did and all like that, but 50 years ago, when the media didn't control complete narrative of someone's thought, we called it street tax. And today, who is controlling this? I mean, you know, is it like six elder women in the church that are, you know, counting this up, or they're young law firm with big cars and big buildings?
So it's the Bar Association again.
No, I'm just telling people, hey, you said it. I'm just asking your listeners. I mean, do we have six old women tallying this up, or is it basically legalized extortion embezzlement, basically. It used to be called a street tax.
I like legalized extortion.
Yeah, the ones who are all operating on are the ones that benefit from the perks of it, right? Is that how that works?
Yep.
I'm not sure. I don't know if six old women in the church being trustworthy would take advantage of the situation, but I just appreciate what Cindy did off of, but any kind of racket I see right away within 3 seconds, and they're all around you. And I just tell you, there's an organized crime association, and you guys figure it out.
Six old women.
Yeah, thank you, Dale. Appreciate the call. Hey, one of our listeners sends me a text, says, Mark, your idea won't work because there won't be enough people paying taxes after a while, but mix in a compromise. Reduce taxes slowly for some. I like this idea. You take Al's idea where after you paid off the property value of your home in just taxes, then the taxes start to go down for you, proportionally speaking.
But you still haven't addressed the issue of the valuation of the home.
Right. Okay, reassess. Let's reassess. A lot of counties have done it around here. Let's do it. Let's have the state help pay for it since they created this whole mess in the first place. So we'll reassess so that homes are valued fairly, Murray.
And then peg it to inflation so that we don't have to keep doing it over and over again.
Okay, that's already in Pennsylvania. School taxes have to stay in relative lockstep with inflation.
No, but taxes or the value of the homes? Taxes may have to stay.
Oh, the values of the home. Well, but everybody's home doesn't go up equally, like homes.
But inflation does go up at a certain rate. So if inflation goes up 1%, then the value of the home goes up 1%,
and the
tax rate goes up 1%.
All right. Well, I don't like that idea.
But at least it's fair. Everybody knows what they're dealing with. Right now, it's not fair. It's inherently unfair.
When you don't
and
know
it's
how
not
much,
getting any fairer.
You don't know how much your school district's going to raise taxes. You just assume they're going to raise it the maximum amount.
Well, right. I think the other part of that is that we need to demand from our school districts absolute accountability in how our money's spent. You look at the debacle in Harrisburg.
Well, we have accountability.
No, we don't.
You can go to the meeting and watch how they're spending if you so choose to.
Well, you obviously haven't followed the Harrisburg situation where they actually lied or shut people out when they started asking tough questions about
the way. Is that legal?
Well, apparently they got away with it for a while. Eventually it caught up with them because they were so incompetent that they managed to almost bankrupt the school district and the state took it over.
All right.
So we need accountability in that regard, too. We need the school districts to spend the money we give them wisely, but we also need to make sure we provide enough money so that our kids, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren get a quality education.
This is remarkably cynical, even for you. I'm surprised that
why
you don't
that cynical?
Want the, at least don't want the compromise idea that slowly your taxes would be reduced as you near death.
I think the first thing we do is we determine what amount of taxation dollars we raise if we fairly evaluate
right,
the cost
stipulated.
Of the property.
Let's do it. All right,
if
okay,
we
well,
do, that, do that, and then we say, oh, we're so flush with money here, we can afford to back off the taxes. Or if in doing it fairly we find we're not getting enough revenue, then we need to review the tax
and
structure.
Then we need to raise taxes. All right, we have two emails pending, neither of which have anything to do with the cockamamie idea that I agree with, that we'd stop paying property taxes after you paid off the value of your home. And Cindy made perfect sense, too, that there's already tons of people not paying taxes because of quirks in the legal system that were designed to benefit them. So if you have a property tax or tax-free retirement type question, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. One email has the word abortion at the top. Another one has the word minimum wage throughout, so we will talk about those shortly. We're going to take a break soon, but I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. Family-owned dealership since 1915, and they got tons of vehicles. There just is no vehicle that you could want that they could not provide for you. Of course, if you want a new Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln, they got tons of those on the lots, or they could order up a special one for you. You could even do the order online and do that, but if you are looking, let's say you need a late model Jeep that's in perfect condition, they have some of those because of the good trade-ins that people upgraded to an SUV and a Navigator or something like that. Or maybe you say, well, gee, I'd love to have a Chevy Sierra truck. They have two of those on the lot right now at Sunbury, and they're in perfect condition. Yes, the driver of those did upgrade to an F-150 or, in one of the cases, an F-250, but you could drive a Chevy Sierra truck around that's in perfect condition because the Sunbury Motor Company only has the absolute best pre-owned vehicles. So that's why I say there's absolutely no vehicle at all whatsoever, period, end of story, that they couldn't put you in at the Sudbury Motor Company. Well, maybe that's a little too definitive. But you get the idea. Because of the pre-owned vehicles that they have are in perfect condition, if they're dead autos that should go to the junkyard, that's where they go. They don't sell them to anybody. If they're just no good, they put them in the auction, and you can find them at a fine used car lot around here somewhere. But you wouldn't find them at the Sudbury Motor Company. Sudbury Motor Company, check them out at sunburymotors.com. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We're wrapping up our conversation as it relates to property taxes. Cindy is so informed that she has a quick caveat to her previous wonderful remarks. Go ahead, Cindy, you're on the mark.
Well, I think that one of the things that we do need to do is we need to address the issue of who is not paying property taxes at all. And I think that our largesse in that area is just beyond the pale.
Who's not
any
paying
organization,
property taxes?
For example, nonprofits don't pay.
Okay.
If you're a nonprofit organization, a union, a university, a hospital, etc. Well, if they can afford to pay the highest ranking person in their entity more than $1 million a year in salary and benefits, then they can afford to pay local property tax.
But they do payments in lieu of taxes. They give you a police cruiser.
Please, Mark. Oh, please. It's all very self-serving. You know, the Zealand's Grove borough has often reflected more than 50% of the land of that borough is tied up in not paying property taxes. But those entities, the school district, as well as the university and the nonprofits, union shops, churches, etc., they're all consuming services. They use the roads, they use the other services, trash collection, etc. Why shouldn't they be chipping in? Especially, I think, if they can afford to pay the top person in their organization more than $1 million a year. That's ridiculous. They should be paying it.
I doubt the churches pay their top executives more than $1 million a year around here.
I didn't say they did, Joe.
But maybe based on their overall budget.
No, but I mean, your point was respect.
That's an easily identifiable number that we could go to and say, if your nonprofit is paying more than $1 million a year to its CEO or director, then you will pay property taxes. And if your organization is less than that, then you would get some kind of a break. Or
but
pick another number. How about $500,000 a year? I think if you could pay $500,000 a year to one person to run your organization, then I think you could pay your local property taxes. And that would make a huge difference, and it would take enormous pressure off of many local families, off of even small businesses.
Well,
the other thing we should look at is who we're giving tax breaks to in businesses. 10-year KOZs, where they're exempted from paying all these taxes in exchange for supposedly creating jobs, none of which is documented, is a bad deal for the people. It's a bad deal.
Well, the KOZ at Chemoka Dam created 30-some jobs at the power plant.
But look at what we're going to get at the end. When that property goes on the tax rolls, it goes on at the value of a power plant.
Joe, when I was on the school board, the entity that owned that land applied for, and I voted against it, they got a KOZ, 10 years exemption. Didn't the borough just give them another one?
No. We have the original exemption in place, and that's it.
And that's a second one.
No, it's running out.
One.
I mean,
that
I think
is
it's...
Not the, it's Joe, it's well past the original tax break that the original owners got on that land.
Well, I'm talking about the people who built the power plant. I mean, I don't know about what they were
That's
before.
That's the second time that land, at least a second time, that land has enjoyed a 10-year tax break.
But the first
that's
time, it didn't. Nothing.
Time.
Nothing was built on it. If that's the case, I mean, now something's
the
on it.
The power plant was there.
The original
what are you
power.
Talking about?
The original power plant was up, put in the 50s. I mean, they didn't have a KOEZ for that. They
no,
did have.
No, they came and applied. I beg your pardon, Joe. That I was on the school board for that vote. They came and they asked for it, and they got an exemption from school taxes for 10 years.
For what?
I voted against it.
For what?
The power plant.
No, but
when it was a coal-fired power plant.
But why would they even qualify for one unless they were going to do something new or build something there?
Well, they have that LERTA thing too, Joe. It's not just a KOZ. There's the LERTA thing.
But
so
the KOZ has to create something.
And our government have gone on to giving out free or major exemptions on taxes. And before we go back at people who are already paying, we should ask ourselves, is this really appropriate that we're giving this broad swath of people an exemption?
Thank you so much.
Well, appreciate
the call,
but
Cindy.
Just to put the record straight, the KOEZ that was granted for construction of the new power plant and the land there to Sunbury Generation LLP, the owners of the property, we did not include the current plant in that, the old plant. They continue to pay taxes at that same level for the 10 years.
Okay.
The people who got the break were the people who did the new construction. At the end of that 10-year period, it goes on the tax rolls. That power plant's valued at what, $1 billion? And all of a sudden that gets added to the tax
rolls.
Right,
it's going to be a real windfall, and then they'll sell it and let it deteriorate.
But
and
if
move
they
on.
Sell it, that's another big windfall for the municipalities because you have the real estate transfer tax.
What about there's a medical marijuana growing facility that was going to be built there.
Is that under construction?
It's under construction. Okay, fabulous.
Right.
On the property taxes topic, two emailers.
Dick says, nobody I know enjoys paying taxes. That said, using my federal state income tax, for example, there are many things that those monies are used for that I will never benefit from. Heck, I could retire on all the tax money I paid. Oh, I am retired. The bottom line, pay up and just complain. That's the American way. Dick's got a good point.
And read that little one there. Yep.
Okay, let's see here. And then this one says, hello, it's sad but true. My parents lived in the Line Mountain School District, and after my dad died, my mother paid her school taxes, but it was a hardship to her. Over $3,000 a year in school taxes, she could not keep her house without going into the hole every month. God rest her soul. Okay. Obviously, that's somebody that you want to help some way.
If
but
possible.
As Cindy points out, there are options out there for them, you know. So, now we have some other emails, but you want to take a break first.
Well, let's finish our breaks, and then when we come back, we have emails. One, abortion's in the top line, and minimum wage is in the other. So, we're going to take a hot break, and we'll be right back.
Buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Tom was so kind as to send us an email.
Yes, Tom says, on yesterday's show on the topic of minimum wage, Joe brought up the same old tired and worn out statistic that Fred Keller always raised about the small number of people receiving the minimum wage. I will remind Joe and Fred that $7.30 an hour is also more than the minimum wage of $7.25, as is $7.50, $7.75, and so forth. It's a worthless statistic. The fact of the matter is those small amounts are not anywhere close to what they need to be. Let's stop this nonsense talk and start at $10 an hour and increase it every year till we reach $15 an hour. On another topic, Lance brought up knife deaths. While it's true that knife deaths are more frequent than all guns, it's also true that mass murderers don't go to Walmart and throw knives at the rate of one per second. As a matter of fact, knives aren't used at all in Walmarts. Knives and handguns are an up-close and personal way of homicide. Apples and oranges, Lance. Nice try, Lance, but once again, you look exceptionally silly defending mass murder while being a staunch abortion opponent. I believe that's spelled hypocrite. About a year and 3 months remain until the election. At least 26 arrests since Dayton threatening mass shootings. Signed, Tom. Tom, you make a point that's worth considering, but if you did a little research, you would find that only 3 in 10 hourly workers, non-self-employed in the U.S., aged 18 and older, earn more than the minimum wage but less than $10 an hour. So 7 in 10 of the people who are wage earners who what, don't earn above the minimum wage, but less than $10 an hour. That's 7 in 10 of them. So initially, you'd only be benefiting 3 in 10 people. Mm-hmm, you know, and you'd be taking jobs away from those people in all probability, and you would be pushing up the other end of the scale.
No,
but of that, interestingly
Joe.
But here's the interesting figure.
You have a rare opportunity to help people who really need the assistance. They're like, no, statistically, nobody's in that.
Well, here's what's interesting. Of the people who make between less than $10 an hour, but beyond the minimum wage, but less than $10 an hour, 76% are white. 73.3% are non-Hispanic, 26.7% are Hispanic, 24% are white. 14.5% are between the ages of 18 and 20, 35.2% between 21 and 30, and 16.3% between 31 and 40. As far as education goes, 20% have less than a high school education. So I think you can make a pretty good corollary that the lower income people, there is a direct correlation to the educational level that they bring to the job. If they have less than a high school diploma, 20% of them, you know, that's pretty telling, don't you think?
Well, they may not have graduated, but they're able to do the job or they wouldn't be there.
But
minimum wage should go up because it allows companies to pay people such a pay rate that they have to go on welfare just to stay alive. We should raise the minimum wage a reasonable amount, $1 a year until it gets to $12 an hour.
And do we require the people who are getting this largesse, as you would call it, do we require them to bring anything more to the table? Are they required to get any more training?
Well, the company can do that. Sure. Companies have all kinds of requirements.
Hey, here's a requirement.
They
do
requirements.
It now.
Right, absolutely.
And they pay people more who get that training, who take that initiative. But I don't think we reward, you know, I think it's counterproductive to reward people for doing the same job and not bringing anything new to the table.
Right. So if you've been unable to graduate for any reason at all whatsoever, unable to or unmotivated to graduate from high school, you should be punished for the rest of your life with no help at all whatsoever.
Nobody's saying that.
Next
Mark.
Email, please.
We're back to taxes from Mike Bolick, who knows something about them. I strongly believe that any tax shift to eliminate school real estate taxes should only be for owner-occupied homes. We live here. We'll pay the new taxes. We should be the only ones to get the benefit. Mike makes an excellent point.
There you go.
Yes, Mike makes an excellent point. And we have another Mike who says, if I can call it up here.
Double click. There you go.
Have we heard Dr. Jen Sour Grape's response about how the voters were not informed enough to vote for her? No, we have not had any comment from Dr. Rager.
No, but last time she did not win an election, I invited her to call, but I did not issue that invite today. So that's probably why we haven't heard from her.
And then Bob says, hi, let's remember school is coming back. Please drive carefully. Good point, Bob. Thank you very much for that.
Yes, yeah, school started a couple places. Salesgrove today.
Yes, and then another writer says, enough on the abortion issue. How is a woman's choice of health issues connected to the running of our government? Whatever happened to separation of church and state? This issue continues to be a main focus of the Republican Party, and it has nothing to do with the function of government. Come on, let's focus on what's important and relevant to government's operation. So old, so redundant, and so not related to government function. But I think you're wrong in that, in all honesty. I mean, let's face it, the government has a vested interest in protecting the lives of its citizens and their health.
Well, the government passes laws to protect people on a wide range of topics. Abortion is one of them. But a woman's right to choose is none of government's business. We know, like Fred Keller, when he was a state representative, and Linda Schlegel-Culver wanted to be able to do the invasive ultrasounds because they felt so strongly about this. They felt as though they knew more than doctors. So doctors and women should never be allowed to make these decisions, that the state could codify if and when an abortion could take place. And that's wrong.
Well, the state does have a right to determine what laws it enacts and whether or not it makes something legal or illegal.
Right, and the state has the ability,
as
you're well aware, to do tremendous overreach. 1-800-795-9565. We could take two speedy dialers.
And ironically, we have two speedy dialers
calling in, so that works out. All right. So, Joe, do we have a topic for tomorrow by chance?
Well, ironically, someone brought up abortion. That was the last issue. And then the Planned Parenthood has cut ties to the U.S. government.
Right, the Title X. Well, that happened a couple of days ago. You're finally catching on. Bobby, a short...
It was in the paper this morning.
Short timey. Oh, yeah, that was Wednesday. No, Monday afternoon that came out. Bob,
little,
you're on the mark.
A little informal with Bob here.
Go ahead, Bob. You're on the mark. Bob?
Well, I just would like you to ask the next time Tom calls in what he pays his employees.
Okay.
I don't know that he has any employees, but we'll ask him.
Well, that's the point. He has no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, employees have no idea what an employer goes through. That's a great show topic. We should do that someday. You're right.
Yeah.
That's true. We keep talking about raising the minimum wage like it's just going to go up and nobody's going to suffer.
And nobody's going to pay it.
Yep, good point. All right, thank you, sir. Yep.
Good
is
point.
Is that your important good point?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Billy, thank you so much for calling in. Glad to hear from you.
2 points. First is on minimum wage. So I do run a business, and I do have people that are making close to minimum wage, but I also have people that are making upwards of $24 an hour, and they're actually paid on production for the amount of work they produce. And so they have the exact same ability to make in terms of the rate we're paying. We're paying them the same amount for each increment of work that they do, and so they could both be making the same. But the reality is that in one case there's an employee who is 70 years old, and at this point in her life that's the amount of work she wants to do and is capable of doing, and she's happy to do it. But that amount of work output is only $8 an hour. On the other hand, we have other younger employees who are more motivated that are making $24 an hour, doing, you know, three times as much work, basically, in the same amount of time. So, and then I have another employee who has some health issues and wants to keep her job just so that she has sort of an outlet for things. And again, she's around that $7 to $8 an hour range. If Pennsylvania raises the minimum wage, I'll either have to, in order to enforce equity across all my employees, I'll have to either raise all of their wages, which I can't afford to do at the current profitability of the company, or I'll have to let those people go who are not, because I can't afford to supplement their pay above minimum wage either. That wouldn't be fair to the ones that are making, who are doing three times as much work. So basically 10% of the employees of my company would have to be let go if the minimum wage was raised. And they're people that I want, that want to be employed, that I want to be able to employ in a reasonable way, but I couldn't do it if the state doesn't allow me to pay them for what they're actually producing.
Well, two questions.
But sets an arbitrary minimum and says, no, you have to at least pay this amount. I should be able to negotiate with anyone. If they're willing to do a job, if we don't live in slavery anymore, if someone's willing to do a job, if the guy kid down the street's willing to mow my yard for $2 an hour and he's happy to do it, then let him do it.
So you like freedom, in other words, and less onerous government.
Well, you know that.
Yeah, I know. That's the phrase I could use. And Joe will argue that we should have onerous government. Go ahead, Joe. Oh, we're out of time. Oh, I didn't realize it was time.
Well,
Billy,
thank you
so much for checking in. Really,
I'd love to comment
it
on something Billy said, but that we'll have to wait till tomorrow.
All right, you hold that. Billy, call back tomorrow if you'd like to wrap up our discussion. Billy forgot to mention he could take a little less pay, so now he has to call back tomorrow, too. And I want one of the 24-hour-an-hour jobs. If I have to work for him, that's the one I'll take. All right, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. We thank everybody for listening. This is WDKOK Sunbury.